Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, we are coming pretty close to the conclusion of our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Though we still have a few things to look at today, that is our study of it as it relates to the question of discipline for sinning and unrepentant church members. That's what the chapter is primarily about, how churches should deal with cases of unrepentant immorality among its members, and by extension, even according to some of the things that are explicitly stated in the chapter, this also tells us how to deal with other areas of unrepentant sin as well. And so we're going to finish up the chapter with its primary emphasis upon church discipline situations. But then we're actually going to go back through the chapter a couple more times to see how it relates to other issues that are equally important and often equally misunderstood. But all that in due season. But right now, I remind you that what Paul is dealing with is a report that has come to him, and apparently it has come in such a way that it is undisputed, irrefutable, no question that it is true, namely that somebody in the Corinthian church, a member of the Corinthian church, was living in an immoral relationship with his father's wife, with his stepmother. And the church had not done anything about it and didn't seem to be concerned about it, didn't appear that they were planning to do anything about it. And so Paul steps in by way of epistle, writing from the city of Ephesus across the Aegean Sea. He can't be there to deal with it personally and directly, but he says, I'm still going to deal with it. And this is that famous text where he says, I'm with you in spirit. I can't be there in body, but I am there in spirit, and I'm going to be involved with you in this situation. And we'll pause for a moment and welcome you to the Wednesday, August 4 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. Grateful that through you, or some of you, God has supplied so far the funds necessary to keep this Bible teaching ministry on the station. Well, Paul's response to this immoral situation in the church is very different from theirs. He is emphatic that it must be dealt with, and it must be dealt with directly. It must be dealt with thoroughly. And he tells them what to do, namely to gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and make a congregational decision to remove this offending member from the church. And purpose number one in doing so is for the benefit of the offending church member. It has a restorative purpose, and ultimately his salvation is in mind, and that's the goal. But there are other issues as well, and he goes on by way of analogy in verses 6 through 8 to talk about the importance of getting sin out. Like getting leaven out of the house during the days of Passover, so churches must remove sin from their congregation because a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And a little sin will spread throughout the church if it's not dealt with properly. And so he's teaching, first of all, by way of directive, and then he teaches by way of analogy. But he furthermore goes on to make a very necessary clarification, and that's what we were talking about on the broadcast yesterday, namely that what he's referring to here in their treatment of an immoral person only applies to church members. It doesn't apply to people outside the church, or to put it another way around, it only applies to professing Christians. It doesn't apply to people in the world who do not profess to be Christians. That apparently is what they misunderstood. I wrote to you, he said in my epistle, verse 9, not to keep company with sexually immoral people. That's what he wrote. They misunderstood him to mean cut yourself off from people in the world who are involved in immorality. Isn't it strange that they would understand that and yet somehow think that it was okay to have a member of their church that was living in immorality? But stranger things have happened. And so he goes on in verse 10 to say, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with, and here's where he expands the instructions from two other things beyond that of sexual immorality, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. If you cut yourself off from everybody in the world who is guilty of practicing these sins, you will have to go into isolation. You'll have to become a monk, a hermit. You'll have to go live in a cave, live in the desert. You will have to go out of the world. You can't live that way. That's impossible. And besides, it's not even desirable. No, you're not to cut yourself off from sinful people in the world. You are supposed to establish relationships with them for the purpose of evangelism. They need Christ. Who's going to tell them the gospel if Christians cut themselves off from all contact with them? You have misunderstood me badly. No, that's not what I meant. Don't cut yourself off from sinful people in the world. But, verse 11, now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Not the people of the world. That's not practical. That's not desirable. But professing Christians, if they are immoral, or all these other things that are listed here, if they are practicing sin in an observable way and will not acknowledge it, will not repent of it, will not stop it when someone in the church calls it to their attention, then you're going to have to cut yourself off from them. You're going to have to disassociate yourself from them. You're going to have to remove all Christian privileges, all church privileges from them. You are going to have to make it clear that you no longer consider them to be a Christian. That's the instruction. And then he goes on in verse 12 to talk about spheres of judgment. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Outside what? Outside the church. Do you not judge those who are inside? Inside what? Inside the church. Verse 13, but those who are outside God judges, therefore put away from yourselves the evil person. Christians are not responsible to judge those who are outside the church, but Christians are responsible to judge those who are inside the church, which of course you can only do if you are yourself inside the church. So Christians are not supposed to be judging those who are outside the church. How is it that we find that so easy to do and so, what should I say, so delightful to do in some ways, point the accusing finger out in the world at this and that and the other thing that's going on and declaim it and tisk, tisk, tisk it and, oh, isn't that awful? When that's not really our business, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We don't judge those who are outside, but we have a God-given responsibility to judge those who are inside. God, we read in verse 13, judges those who are outside. Leave it to Him. But Christians are commanded to judge those who are inside. We can't leave that to Him. I've had people in times past say, well, why don't we just leave it to God to take care of this sinful church member who won't repent? After all, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Let's just leave it to God. Well, the problem is God has told us that it's our responsibility. That's kind of like saying, why should I evangelize? Let's just leave that to God. God's able to bring people to Himself. He doesn't need me. But He's given us commandments to be involved in that. Of course, He doesn't need us because He doesn't really need anything, but this is what He's told us to do. It's our responsibility to evangelize. Or take any area of Christian instruction. What if we said, well, I don't see any reason to pray. God already knows my heart. God already knows my needs. I don't see any purpose in it. I'm not going to do it. Well, you are a sinning, disobedient Christian. We do it because God tells us to, whether we understand the reason for it or not. And the same thing is true here. God clearly tells us that this is a responsibility that He has given to the church. Again, verse 12, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Answer, nothing. Do you not judge those who are inside? Question mark. Answer, yes. Verse 13, but those who are outside, God judges. Now, He takes responsibility for that. You leave that to me. You let me take care of judgments for those who are outside the church, but you take responsibility for those who are inside the church, because the chapter ends by saying, therefore, here's a conclusion, put away from yourselves the evil person. Now, what does judging mean? Well, judging involves the pronouncement of guilt plus appropriate punishment. That's what judgment means in this context. The church is called upon to exercise judgment, that is, the public pronouncing of guilt when that has been determined to be the case, and appropriate punishment, which in this case is putting the person outside the church. Judging, therefore, may require excommunication. It doesn't always, but in many cases it does, and in this case it certainly did. And so we learn how important it is that sin be dealt with, not ignored. For all of us, self-examination is indicated here. Acknowledgement of sin and repentance and forsaking of it when it's present is indicated here. And when it's detrimental to the body of Christ and it is confronted, then it must be forsaken. Otherwise, that detrimental member is going to have to be removed for the good of the church as well as for his own good. Clearly, God takes sin more seriously than we do. There's pardon with God for the repentant, but there is judgment for the unrepentant, and we, therefore, must learn to deal with sin God's way. It's His word, not ours. It's not how we feel about it. It's not what our opinion is about it. It's what God says about it. That's what we must pay attention to and act according to. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.